Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue in a series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In these lessons, Rick shows us from God's Word how to have great faith and live with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when your circumstances appear hopeless. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how to get a copy of the Daily Hope Gold Scripture Box called Verses of Hope, a great way to keep God's Word right at your fingertips all year round. You can go to PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called When You're Drowning in Debt.
I remember years ago, back in the 80s, we were living in Laguna Niguel in a 1,200 square foot home. I had three kids and I had two bedrooms. And so I built my kids' bedrooms in the garage because we had decided we wanted Kay at home during those years. She didn't want to work. I didn't want her to have to work. I wanted her to be with the kids. So we intentionally lived in a smaller home. And I built the kids' rooms in our garage, built them out, put in windows and everything. And we had been saving for years to expand that house. And we finally got enough money that we could add a second story onto this house. And one day I was reading a magazine and I saw this advertisement for log cabins. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a log cabin? You know, I was raised in the mountains in Northern California. I grew up in a little town called Redwood Valley, and it's just like it sounds. I was up in the mountains, and it was beautiful. I'm kind of a log cabin kind of guy. And I looked at the price, and it was less than what we were going to do our remodel for. And I went to Kay and I said, hey, honey, how about instead of putting all this money into one house, what if we had like a second house, if we had a log cabin kit and we bought this kit and my dad and I could build it. And she said, well, that sounds pretty good. I said, it's less than what we're going to have to remodel our house for. So we went out and we looked all up and down the Sierra Nevadas and we found this beautiful space in June Lake, just north of Mammoth. And I bought three lots together. I mean, it was gorgeous. Two running streams running through the property that connected to two larger lakes. A spring-fed pond on the property with fish. Giant trees. View out the window where the house would be, looking at Carson Peak of Yosemite. Unbelievable piece of property. So we bought it. We paid cash for the property. We didn't put it on in debt. We paid cash for it. And then we had the money to build this log cabin. So I bought a log cabin kit from a company called Lincoln Logs. I'm not making this up. Lincoln Logs. I vaguely remembered it from my childhood years. And so it took me a couple years to build it, and my dad and some friends helped me build it. And what they didn't say in the ad was, this is just like the frame. You want a floor? Oh, that's extra. You want plumbing? Oh, that's extra. You want a bathroom and electricity? Oh, that's extra. It was just the frame. So it ended up being twice the amount. But we had the money and we had been saving faithfully and we got it all paid off. And then we started having to maintain it. And twice in the house on one side, it got so cold the water pipes broke, froze, and then flooded the wood flooring and had 2 or 3 inches of ice on it. And twice I had to completely replace the flooring. And then we had rats, and then we had termites, and then I was just going, this is not worth it. I thought, you know what? I learned a simple lesson. We sold it after about 5 years. I learned something. I don't have to own something to enjoy it. I can rent a log cabin once a year and get that smell of that cedar log. And why should I have to own it? If you own it, you have to maintain it. You know, let me tell you something I never worry about. I never worry about barnacles because I don't own a boat. in my entire life, I've never worried about barnacles. I've never spent a second scraping them off. Why? I don't own a boat. If I want a boat, I can go rent one or use one or whatever, but you don't have to own it to enjoy it. Does that make sense? There are some things you own you really don't need to own. And if you've got a car, you need to ask yourself, what is the purpose of this car? If the purpose of the car is transportation, well, there are a lot of things that'll get you going here and there. Just because you can afford it doesn't mean you need it. You need to have a reason behind why you're buying what you're buying. And that's between you and the Lord, but you need to have a reason for doing it. But I would suggest that the reason be better than simply status. Don't pay for status. It's worthless. Don't buy a shirt that's twice as expensive because it's got a little sign on it that says status. Okay? Just buy a shirt. Now, let me tell you this. When I wrote Purpose Driven Life, it became the best-selling book in the world for 3 years. It became the best-selling hardback in American history. And most of you know that brought in a ton of money. Scared me to death. And I'm not going to get into that whole story, but you know the story about how Kay and I gave back 25 years of salary, and we set up some foundations, and we basically gave all the money away. Now, when all that money came in, I could have bought any house in Southern California that I wanted. I could buy any car that I wanted. I could have gone out and bought an island and sat on the beach and had people for the rest of my life serve me iced tea with little umbrellas in it and come up and be my butler and say, yes, sir, may I tie your shoes? But when you write a book and the first sentence of the book is, it's not about you, then something's got to compute. The money's not for you. And of course, we gave it all away. But the point is this. I drive an 8-year-old, it's going to be 9-year-old in January, 9-year-old Ford truck. Why? It gets me here as good as any other thing. And I still live in the same house I've lived in for now, 16 years. Why? Because just because you can afford it doesn't mean you should buy it. Does that make sense? Okay, so I have a sale, and maybe you could get by with a cheaper car. By the way, if you have something you could never part with, you say, well, I could never sell that. Or if you have something God told you to give away, and God told you, said, I want you to give this to somebody, and you couldn't give it away, you need to understand this. You don't own it. It owns you. If you have something that you could not sell or part with, you don't own it. It owns you. You are possessed by your possessions. And there's a word for that. When you have something you couldn't part with, it's called an idol. An idol is anything besides God that you've put in your life. You say, I couldn't do without this. And the Bible says this, get rid of every idol. Well, don't get rid of it, sell it. Okay, number 5, fifth step in the financial freedom program. Set up a repayment plan to get out of debt. Now, you're never going to get out of debt accidentally. It's got to be intentional. You got to have a plan. And the Bible says this, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Not get-rich-quick schemes and lottery. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Now, to do this right, you're going to need a pro to help you. You're going to need a financial coach. I don't care how smart you are, you need a coach. Everybody has a coach. Every professional has a coach. The coach is not better than that person, but the coach is objective. And the coach can say, you need to do this, and they're not involved emotionally in making the decisions. Now, when you get sick, if your back goes out, you go to a back doctor. And if your toe goes out, you go to a toe doctor. And if your relationships go out, you go to a relationship counselor. And if you're having a hard time and you're in debt financially, you need to get a financial advisor, financial coach, financial counselor. I would recommend you get somebody who's not trying to sell you something. You need to seek wise counsel before making any major purchases, any deals or purchases, because your emotions get involved. And you need to have an outside objective voice. Now you're going, I don't need this. And you know why you don't need it, why you don't think you need it? It's because you don't want anybody saying that you can't have what you want when you want it. What it is say, I want what I want when I want it, and I don't want anybody telling me to stop me. That's the very reason you need an objective voice. And you need somebody to say, have you thought about this? Can you really afford it? You set up a repayment plan. Now, here's the next step, and this one's even harder. The next step is decide to do it in half the time. Let's say you work out a plan to get out of debt in 20 years, and you say, I'm going to do it in 10. Or I'm going to get out of debt in 10 years. I'm going to do it in 5. And you double up, you're going to save tons of money on interest if you can pay down that principal that much faster. You do it in half the time. Now, you say, Rick, that is impossible. I don't think I'll ever get out of debt. Well, the Bible says this. What is impossible with men is possible with God. If you ever use the word impossible again, listen for God laughing in heaven. Because God doesn't use the word impossible. All things are possible. And you could be amazed what you can do if you want to do it. Now, to get out of the debt trap, you're going to have what I call a triple threat reversal. It's a triple financial reverse. And here are the three things that happen. You have to stop overspending, which is a hard habit to break. You have to repay the principal and the interest. And you have to learn to operate on a financial margin so you're spending less than you make. And that's not easy. But nothing is impossible with God. And he will help you. Number 7. The 7th thing you need to do is add no new debt. While you're going through your financial plan to get out of debt, you don't add any new debt. And the number one reason people get into debt is they spend more than they make. You got to stop it. You got to stop it now. Now, what's the key to that? Well, it's this verse, Hebrews 13. Be content with what you have. It's the greatest key for staying out of debt. Now, here's step 8. Share my plan with my creditors. You let the people you're in debt to know that things are changing. I share my plan with my creditors. And here's what you do. You go to these people and you make a list of the people you're in debt to, the companies, and you call them up and say, no, look, I don't want to file bankruptcy. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. And I'm making this up. I can't pay you $25 a month. I just don't have it. But I could pay you $5 a month. You got to help me with this. I will pay it off, but you got to help me because I don't want to file bankruptcy. I want to pay off my debts. Can you help me with this? I have done this with many people and watched people write down the debt, say, okay, you know what? Pay the debt off. We will stop compounding the interest. You could ask them that. Doesn't hurt to ask. I'll never get out of debt if you don't stop compounding the interest. I want to pay this off. And I don't want to stiff you for it. But if you don't help me, I can't pay it back. The Bible says this, if you'll do the right thing, when your ways please the Lord, he will make even your enemies into friends. And those people that you are in debt to say, okay, here's somebody who's not going to stiff us. They're not going to walk away from it. At least they're going to try to make the effort to get it back, so we'll help them out. Share the plan with your creditors. And number 9, stick to it. Getting out of debt, as I've said now 10 times, it's not easy. It takes discipline, effort, sacrifice. You got to stick to it. These principles, friends, work, but you must work them. And look at this verse. Let's read it aloud together on the screen. Let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. Let me close by saying this. There is one debt you will never be able to repay, and it is the debt of your sins. Every one of us has sinned. We've all made mistakes. We've all blown it. We've all offended God. We've offended other people. We don't hold on to our own standards, much less God's. And sin has a penalty, and somebody's got to pay for it. And you owe a debt that you could not possibly repay. The wages of sin is death. So you know what God did? God assumed your debt. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to pay a debt that I don't owe, but I'm going to pay that debt for you with my own life. And I'm going to wipe out all your spiritual debt simply because of my grace, because I love you and I made you and I created you. And Jesus Christ has wiped out your spiritual debt so you don't have to go to hell, so you don't have to pay for your sins, so you can go to heaven. The Bible says this here on the screen. He, Jesus, canceled the debt which listed all the rules we failed to follow, Ten Commandments and all the other ones. And he took away that record with its rules and he nailed it to the cross. He paid your spiritual debt. Now, before you can start working on your financial debt, you need to close the books on your spiritual debt. You need to get God on your side and helping you. You see, mismanaged money is not your real problem. It is a symptom of your real problem. Mismanaged money or mismanaged time or mismanaged relationships are a symptom of a deeper issue, a mismanaged life. And the real issue is your life is not well managed. You need a life manager. His name is Jesus Christ. That's what it means to make Jesus the Lord of your life. When you hear people say, Jesus is Lord, or make Jesus Lord, or Lord this, or what are we talking about? Most people have no idea because we don't live in a feudal system. We don't have kings and queens and lords and ladies in America, vassals and counts and serfs. We don't live in a feudal system. We're in a democracy. So we don't understand the meaning of the word Lord. But Lord is just an old English word for boss, manager, director, CEO. Jesus wants to be not just resident in your life, he wants to be president of your life. And what it means to follow Jesus Christ means you put on a sign that says, I'm under new management. Before Jesus, I was managing my life. I was managing my finances. I was managing my time. I was managing my relationships. And I wasn't doing that good a job with it because I was tired and frustrated and failing. But under new management, Jesus is the manager, the CEO, the Lord of my life. And that's what he wants to do. You need to settle that issue. Now, you may feel that you're in so deep debt that you're drowning. And you think, I'm just drowning in debt. It makes me think of that story of Jesus was one time with his 12 followers, the disciples, and they were in a boat out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus went over and went into the boat and he fell asleep. And while he was asleep, this storm came up and started rocking and knocking the boat around, and the waves were crashing over, and the disciples thought they were going to drown. And they go over and they wake Jesus up and they say, Lord, don't you care if we drown? Now, think of the irony of this. If Jesus is in the boat, it isn't going to sink. He's not going to let it sink. And here's the key. You need to get Jesus in your boat. You need to get him in your life. You need to get him in your marriage. You need to get him in your friendship. You need to get him in your finances. You need to get him in your career. Get Jesus in your boat, and it's not going to sink. And they went over and they said, Lord, don't you care if we drown? Of course he cared. And what I would suggest you do, if you feel like you're drowning financially, you need to go home and get on your knees and pray a prayer like this one that's on the screen. Save me, O God. The water is up to my neck. I'm sinking in deep mud. There is no solid ground. I'm out in deep water, and the waves are about to drown me. And he will help you. Let's bow our heads. I want you to pray this prayer in your heart. Jesus, I know you promised to bless me when I follow your word. Say that in your mind. Jesus, I know you promised to bless me when I follow your word. So starting today, I'm willing to follow these instructions, and do whatever you tell me to do to get out of the debt trap. I need you to be the manager and the Lord of my life. And I ask you to get in the boat with me and keep me from drowning financially and emotionally and relationally in every other way. Be the manager and Lord of my life from this day forward. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody, and why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad you're with us today. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, you know, in order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, you need to have His Word deep down in your hearts. Right now, we'd like to tell you about the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more about this great resource.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart. To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful gold scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses that we give you and some that you can develop on your own. Now, we've started a collection of 40 verses about hope. These are going to encourage you when you feel down and discouraged. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's word in your mind so you can remember it and you can use it when you need it. Now, I had a graphic artist create Bible verse cards with multiple graphic designs and really cool colors, so you're going to enjoy studying these verses. It's not just words on a blank card, but the colors will actually help you remember these Bible verses. And to help you develop the habit of memorizing Scripture, we've included 64 full-color decorated cards with lines that you can practice writing out your favorite verses. So in addition to the 40 verses of hope, you can write down verses that are meaningful to you, that come to you in your quiet time. And I want to encourage you to use these cards to write down the scriptures that you want to put in your mind and to hide in your heart. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful gold box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, I can't memorize anything. Oh, yes, you can. Do you remember a phone number? You remember a recipe? You remember a baseball statistic? You remember the words to a song? You remember whatever's important to you. And memory is a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. So study after study have shown that if you teach a child to memorize Scripture, they'll be a better student at school too, because it strengthens your mind right away. Now, imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. Now, my hope is that this tool will help you learn to love God's word, listen to God's word, and live God's word as you share it with others. Now, while you're working on these verses and some of the verses you want to do, my team's actually working on new sets of Bible verses that will be released throughout the year that you can add to your collection. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
The Verses of Hope Gold Scripture Box will help you get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. And because this stylish design study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your living space. We'll send it to you to say thank you for your gift to support Daily Hope. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.